the day, clearing by afternoon, the high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC. All right, so we're locked and loaded, ready to go. And on this Talking Tuesday, had some tech difficulties, but we're all good and squared to go. Looking forward to diving into this Talking Tuesday. We got a number of things we're going to talk about. Really looking ahead, about a year from now, Reed, we're going to go ahead and try to figure out what this Alabama roster could look like this upcoming season and how that could have an effect on this upcoming NFL draft. We just concluded the 2026 NFL draft, so I figured why not look ahead and see what we've got planned for 2027 in that NFL draft. So we'll take a look at this Alabama roster, talk about a few guys who I believe could potentially hear their names called early on, whether that's round one, right, or then or day two. I think we got a number of guys that also could end up being, picked in those rounds as well. A lot of talent on this Alabama football team. We'll talk about that here coming up. Plus, we will be joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, as you guys know. We always do on Talking Tuesdays at the top of the hour. And we've even got some updates, Reed, on this whole gambling situation with Texas Tech's new quarterback. I don't know how much you've seen or read about that, but it's probably a little bit worse than we initially had thought. So we need to dive back into that whole deal, because I was thinking, all right, you know, it sounded like he just placed a few, you know, cheap little bets here and there, which you shouldn't do regardless. It's against the rules. But I was under the impression, okay, maybe a few games suspension. Well, some of these updates, they don't look too good, Reed. And I think there is a little bit more to the whole case with Sorsby as well, which leads me to the biggest question. Well, I guess the biggest question is, will he be able to play and figure all that stuff out? But the next thing would be, does Texas Tech still owe this guy $5 million like he was set to make this upcoming season? We'll talk about that and more. Plus, an interesting little debate that's kind of come up, Reed, and we talked about this yesterday on the show with the announcement of Elijah Haven committing to Alabama, blue chip prospect. We know the number one quarterback prospect in the country, a guy that had all schools coming after him, set all types of records in the high school ranks over in Louisiana, specifically Baton Rouge, LSU's backyard. So that was all good. And we were discussing that. But then we also were talking about where this quarterback room stands, which, you know, this would make 3 years in a row that Alabama has, in fact, signed five-star quarterbacks in their recruiting classes, which on one hand, obviously, is great news and it's very exciting. You know, that's one of, if not the most important positions on a football field. But when we looked at it logistically, it definitely raised some questions in terms of how this could work out. Would it be sustainable? And we kind of got into that conversation. But speaking of Clinton, who joins us at the top of the hour, I know he had some thoughts on it. And it led to an interesting debate, right? Talking about, is it worth it maybe, you know, taking this route, recruiting that number of blue chip quarterback prospects from a logistics standpoint? Of course, everybody would love to recruit as many five stars as possible. But when you're talking about in this new landscape of college football where we're at right now, the reality is, I mean, it's kind of like the NFL and the pros where you got a somewhat of a salary cap, whether you're talking about the revenue share that is put in place. And now there's been, you know, I guess the movement in Capitol Hill with them trying to crack down on some of these things. So with that in mind, that was where it kind of sparked my, I guess, curiosity about how this would look logistically, Reed, right? When I think about it, it's like, you know, if you only have so much money to work with, which we all know, all these schools are going well beyond those limits, right? They're going past the revenue share limit. They're utilizing things like the collectives and all that to go above and beyond. But let's just say that gets to a point where there is a hard cap and you really do only have, let's just say $25 million, because it started at 20.5, but it's supposed to go up as, you know, the years progress, right? My thing on this is, if there ever is a hard cap and you do invest that much into one position, could it potentially maybe take away, you know, from other positions? Again, not saying that's happening right now, but that was one question I had. And I guess the way I framed it was like this, Reed. You're working with a budget. Would you prefer to have 3 5-star quarterbacks, or would you prefer to have 2 5-star quarterbacks? Oh, let me go back. 3 5-star quarterbacks and a, you know, 4-star offensive tackle, like a good player, but maybe not a top tier guy, or 2 5-star quarterbacks and then a top tier blue chip left tackle to go along with those guys. That was kind of where my mindset was coming from. Again, I think Clint was referring to maybe some questions that he got. If anything, we were talking about, I love the idea of going to the high school ranks and trying to get your guys and recruit them and develop and all that. I just also was curious about the logistics side of things and how that could look given where we're at with college football. That's just kind of how it works. So we'll do all that and more coming up. But first, we got to hit a timeout. We'll get the stream all rolling. I see we got folks in the chat wondering, what in the world is going on? Hey, man. Technical difficulty. Sometimes they get you. But we're all ready to rock and roll now. We're going to fire up this stream. So all you guys waiting, we're coming at you. And we'll be here right in a second, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are...
I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. A little bit fresher, cleaner start here, segment number two. Now that everything's all good, our bearings are in check. All right, that being said, Reed, I got to figure out where we should start here on the show today, because I do want to take a look at the 2026 roster and then see how that could look for this 2027 NFL draft coming up. Again, just to recap you guys, Alabama did, in fact, have two first-rounders this last draft that took place over the weekend. Ty Simpson going to the Rams, Caden Proctor going to the Miami Dolphins. And speaking of both those guys, there was something that came out, Reed. I don't know if you saw this. I know I sent it to you. I can play it here in a moment. But Ty Simpson pretty much, I guess he admitted that, hey, you know, I actually had some secret meetings that no one knew about until now. I'm kind of breaking the news here with the Rams, Sean McVay specifically. And to be fair, you know, that doesn't shock me. That's the NFL draft for you, right? Everybody tries to hold their cards close to the vest, and makes it a little bit more interesting when you think about the whole deal with Sean McVay and the press conference, which is why I said, I mean, you just never know, right? It's easy to say, hey, man, look at his body language. Look at the way he's kind of addressing it. And I think it was a number of things, but yeah, it is interesting when you hear that now. You're like, okay, well, you know, if he met with Ty secretively and they obviously had a lot of interest there, clearly there was probably a little bit of an overreaction to the initial press conference when people were kind of picking up on how he addressed the media or the body language. He didn't look overly enthusiastic and all that good stuff. So we'll play that here in a moment. I thought that was interesting. But one other thing that I want to bring up real quick while it's on my mind, we mentioned Caden Proctor, and this reminded me, for anybody that's going to be in town next week, there's a really cool event that I definitely recommend you guys to check out, and it's actually being held by none other than, you know, local product Will Conformby, right, who's from the Tuscaloosa area, played here for, you know, several years, started a number of years, recently transferred to Texas A&M, but he obviously really cares about, you know, his hometown in Tuscaloosa and wants to give back. He actually does that often, so this is not the first. He's actually done a number of things in the community, and it's not slowing down anytime soon. So I'm going to put a graphic on the screen here in a moment, but I just want to bring it up real quick. They're actually holding, it's called a Revival Night Block Party. It's kind of cool, Reed. Now, I don't know if you know what a block party is, but, you know, outdoor kind of get together. But they're going to have all types of things like free food and games. It's going to be family friendly. It's a community event. They're wanting to invite all the kids out, right? And I think you can still go if you're not a kid, because, you know, it's a big community event. But they specifically want to really put something on for these kids, kind of give back. I know Scotty Hollins, who serves as one of our chaplains with football, he'll also be in attendance, and they'll be sharing testimonies, kind of spreading the word of God, and ultimately giving back to the community, free food, free, you know, games and stuff like that. So if you guys are around next week, I believe it is on Friday, May 8th, it kicks off at 6 p.m., make sure you guys go check it out. It's over in Northport, 3500 West Circle, in that community building. You can go check out Will Conformby, and there'll be more. I know when I was talking with some of the folks helping put it on, I know they mentioned Caden Proctor. You know, he's really close with him. I know he was maybe back in town. I don't know if he'll definitely be there as well, but I'm assuming there will be some other either current or former players may be attending as well. So it's a free event for the kids. Make sure you guys go check that out. Again, it's the Revival Night Block Party. So really good stuff, man. Go get you some good word, some good food, and have a good time, man. But I just wanted to bring that up real quick. That said, Reed, the other thing we mentioned too is that whole discussion yesterday about the whole, you know, having a third five-star quarterback commit to Alabama. Logistically, kind of how does that look? And I know that conversation's been coming up. I didn't realize it was such a big conversation, so I saw a little bit more on it earlier today. And so we'll talk about that here in a moment. But first, I want to start with this whole. I want to go back to this Ty Simpson thing that I mentioned, right? I want to play this clip for you guys because it's almost like this whole saga, Reed. It feels like it's like a drama series, right? I mean, you go from everything that's kind of, you know, come out since the draft, where there was, you know, meeting with the parents and getting intel on, hey, should he leave, should he not? So this is the latest from Ty Simpson. He joined the radio show via ESPN, and he kind of dropped the news that, hey, I actually did, in fact, have some contact with Sean McVay. And this is what Ty Simpson had to say.
Let's go back to when I last saw you before the draft was at Alabama's A-Day game, the spring game. And we're talking on the sidelines, and you had a look to you like, dude, I'm going in the first round. Don't worry about it. You had the comment, by the way, just to let people know, you really didn't care where you went. You just wanted to get in a room and get to work. And I love that about you. But you had that look and this attitude like you knew you were going. Did you know Rams even then when I was with you at Alabama spring game?
You know, what's even, you know, crazy is, you know, we tried to keep this, you know, under wraps as long as we could. You know, it was something to where I knew they were interested, but, you know, they wanted to, you know, make it private and didn't want people to know that, you know, they were interested. So I had, you know, some secret meetings with, you know, Coach McVay. And, you know, I just was trying to be on script and, you know, do what, you know, everybody told me not to tell anybody. So, you know, it was something to where I knew that they were interested. I just didn't know when. And then, you know, sure enough, you know, I had a lot of confidence in myself, and that's why I decided to come out. You know, if it wasn't them, I felt like that it was going to be somebody else.
You mentioned secret meetings there. So take us behind the scenes. What was that like when you first met Sean McVay, and then before the draft and then after the draft?
No, it was great. You know, we met at the facility, and it was something to where, you know, we just talked for hours and hours, and it was just football. It was just straight football. And it was like a kid in a candy store. You know, me and him are sitting there, and, you know, we're just going back and forth. Just, you know, you can tell the obsession he has for the game, and you can tell the, you know, the love he has for quarterback play. It's something that, you know, I appreciate, and it's something that I enjoy because, you know, I really, you know, enjoy playing the position and value the position. So, you know, being with him and then getting to know him and then just, you know, seeing a little bit of, you know, how I would get coached if I was, you know, fortunate enough to go there was something that, you know, I couldn't have asked for, you know, a better situation.
You sneaky SOB. So hold on a minute. After hours and going over film before the draft?
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was something to where, you know, I didn't want, I was told to not say anything, you know, because I didn't want anybody to know. But, you know, we had one meeting and, you know, we kept it private and, you know, it was just something to where it happened that way.
So interesting stuff there, Reed. I feel like, There always is something else coming out, whether it's like we mentioned earlier, you know, like all the communication before he even made a decision to come out. Now this, because initially it was made to seem like he hadn't really had too much contact, at least with Sean McVay. So what do you make of that, Reed? And I know, you know, Ian, I think is who he's talking with, mentioned something about at the draft, he said he hadn't spoke to McVay. Did he make that comment after he was picked, or was this before? Do you know?
I don't know, but I do think, though, that, like, this kind of shuts down a lot of those, like, narratives that people are like, Sean McVay wasn't happy, and he even came out and just was saying, I didn't get to see the whole clip, but that really wasn't the whole issue, and I do think Sean McVay loves the Ty Simpson pick, and it makes a little bit more sense now that they had this, you know, this private meeting or, you know, private session, whatever you want to call it, And it really doesn't surprise me, I guess you could say, but I'm kind of glad it shuts down those narratives. So maybe people won't, you know, and I even saw this on a video yesterday how, you know, I guess the expectation is for the Rams. They were saying, you know, they're Super Bowl contenders or whatever, and they're just that one piece away. And maybe if they don't reach that this next season, maybe they won't go back to say, hey, you know, maybe we would have drafted someone else, right? Because now it seems like, hey, Sean McVay, like, in my opinion, it seems like Sean McVay actually wanted this guy. You know, there's no more of this narrative of, oh, he didn't seem happy, or this wasn't the guy he wanted, you know?
No, I agree. And I don't think, at least for me, I never felt it was as if they didn't want him at all. You know, even Sean McVay, even with that whole thing, and I know what you mean by that, but I think there's some people that made it seem like, oh, look at Sean McVay's body language. He didn't want him. No, I think everybody, you know, was really impressed with Ty Simpson. I think he's a great fit for what they do in Los Angeles. I think it's a perfect match. It was more so just about, is it worth it to go and get this guy at this spot, right? I mean, we have the 13th pick. We don't expect to have such a high draft pick, probably, definitely not next year. Again, they initially had 29. This came via trade. So really, Reed, it's interesting, depending on the perspective that you take. You know, if you view it like I've heard, you know, a lot of people from the Rams side of things come out and say, hey, we don't know when the next time it will be that we have a pick that high, which is them basically being confident and saying, you know, our franchise is in a good spot. We have a really good roster. We don't really see that slowing down anytime soon. The only way we could hope to even move up to a spot even in that mid-range, like 13, I mean, think about how much draft capital it would cost. You would have to trade a whole bunch to get there. You already had it sitting right there in your lap. You feel really confident about your roster where it stands right now. If there's truly not a guy that you don't feel like you could even get in the second or third, because they had a second round pick as well, it almost makes a lot more sense to do what they did. So I totally understand that. But I also understand the other opinion that, well, you're this close from winning the Super Bowl. There's got to be one guy that you felt confident in taking at 13 that wasn't a quarterback that could potentially change your roster and maybe give you a little bit of an edge. Not saying there necessarily is one guy, because I know how football works, right? I mean, there's so many players on a football field. One guy can't do it himself. But if you just had a glaring need and there was a guy there, say their pass rush wasn't where it needed to be and there was an edge rusher sitting right there waiting on them, then I will look at that and say, hey, man, that was a little negligent in my opinion that you didn't take that. But from my understanding, and I haven't looked at the Rams' latest depth chart, I don't keep up with them specifically like I do, let's say, Alabama. I don't know if there was one. Now, I do know they need receiver help because, you know, Davante Adams is 33, I believe. Puka Nacua has been, you know, injured. He's dealt with injuries, but even off the field, I know he just was in, like, rehab or doing something. So those are, you know, two of your top receivers right there. There definitely is a case to say, hey, Mekhi Lemon, that's the most common answer here. Instead of Ty Simpson that I've seen, Mekhi Lemon, why would you not take a guy like him? A guy that many people even viewed as potentially, you know, one of the best receivers, or if not the best receiver. I know Carnell Tate went, I think, 4 overall, but a lot of people view Mekhi Lemon as the best receiver. So I also can understand that argument, given that Matthew Stafford's coming off of an MVP season. What's going to happen, Reed, is hindsight is going to be 2020. You know, we get to the end of the season and we look back and they have injuries at receiver and it looks like they really could have benefited. And let's say, not even just that either that happens, or let's say Mekhi Lemon goes off. And as a rookie, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. I'm telling you right now, people are going to bring this back up. We all know that it's going to come. Yeah, it's going to come. There's no denying that. But if the Rams go on to win the Super Bowl and everything works out just fine, of course, it's going to seem fine. Then 2 years, 3 years down the road, if Ty, you know, and everything works out perfect the way people anticipate it does, Ty ends up taking over the reins from Matthew Stafford and goes on to have a great NFL career, everybody's going to look back and call Snee, the general manager, a genius, right? I mean, that's just kind of how this whole thing works. Hindsight's always going to be 2020. People are going to have opinions now, but we're not really going to know exactly who really, you know, panned out or what really, I guess, would be deemed successful or the right move until we look back after having some more stuff down the road.
And see, Christian, I didn't even think about it until you brought it up regarding the whole point of will the Rams, like, ever, I guess, in the next few years, have this high of a pick? Like, I didn't even think about that. Like, just, you know, natural instinct. And then, but now thinking about taking that into consideration, that kind of, if anything, kind of fully backs my, you know, decision of, you know, I think Ty was the right pick in that sense, right?
Yeah. Because
not necessarily like, if maybe they had a pick between, you know, they, I remember originally they had like the 29th pick and then they traded it away. And if they could have got him maybe in between that range, I think that would have been a lot more, you know, ideal. But once again, though, when are you going to have in the next, let's just say 5 years, are they going to have another, you know, top 15 pick with how Stafford and how the offense is, you know, kind of trending? You know what I mean?
Probably not. Probably not. Unless they're willing to trade and, exactly, and offer up some big capital. Could be a big player as well, right? I mean, you don't really know. So with that said, we'll know more down the road. But listen, a matter of fact, I'll give you an example. I think it was Jordan Schultz that posted this. And I was scrolling on Instagram and I saw, you know, my former teammate Brian Burns in a Raiders uniform. And it's like a graphic of him, Max Crosby, and somebody else. And I'm like, hold on, wait. Oh, no, nah, man. I'm like, I know my guy just signed the whole deal with the Giants. I'm like, surely he didn't get traded. No, I read the bio. Of course, they're saying, oh, the Raiders could have had Brian Burns, Max Crosby, and so-and-so. Because they were basically saying the Raiders elected to draft Cleveland Farrell ahead of Brian Burns. Which, again, a little bit different of a situation. They're kind of comparing two guys that played the same position, defensive ends, you know, edge rushers. And since they took the wrong guy, I was to say the wrong guy in the sense that Brian Burns has gone on to things like second in the league in sacks. You get my point. No disrespect to Cleveland Farrell, but I get it, right? I mean, Brian Burns, Pro Bowler, all pro type dude. Max Crosby, same thing. You could have had both those guys in the same draft. Would have been crazy. But again, hindsight's 20/20. They made that decision. You know, can't go back in time. But anyway, to stop that, that was some interesting updates to this whole Ty Simpson to L.A. saga that this has been going on. Really kind of stole the show of the draft. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. And speaking of the draft, we'll do what the main purpose of the stream was today. We'll take a look at this roster for this season and see what guys we think could maybe hear their names called in that 2027 draft, specifically earlier on in the draft. We'll talk about some potential first rounders, maybe some day two guys, and give a look at this roster. Then we definitely still got to talk about that whole logistics side of things and that whole argument and debate, which is going to be interesting, man, because I see both sides of it. But I want to talk about that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed-sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
I rolled up my sleeves in Congress, and I'll keep fighting for Alabama in the U.S. Senate. I'm Barry Moore, conservative fighter, and I approve this message.
Approved and paid for by Barry Moore for U.S. Senate.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep on rolling here. But Let's do this. I know we're going to dive into some of this NFL talk, but we got Smitty on the phone lines. I don't want to leave him hanging too long. 205-342-9904. Smitty, talk to me. What you got for me on this Talking Tuesday?
Man, I thought you was going on load management like you was in the NBA earlier.
No. Listen, man, the whole system, like, restarted. It was updated. Like, it had no option to do it. So I was like, oh, God. And then it just kind of took a second. But no, we're no load management, man. You know, we're going strong, man. Dog days of summer coming up. Wait, listen, we're just getting started, brother. We're ready to roll.
I feel you. Man, a couple of things with the whole Ty Simpson thing. You got to remember, these NFL dorks and these TV dorks, they all about traits. Because I remember this guy who's on Colin Cowherd. He's a former scout for the Eagles. He actually knows the board pretty well from Fresno. He was talking about traits and stuff. He's the same guy that won't give Bryce Young any credit. But ironically, out of Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Anthony Richardson, the small guy's the one that hasn't been hurt that much. You know, he played better than the other two, you know. But people just want to talk about his height, but how you play. Sure. But the thing is, what people got to understand, you cannot look for a quarterback when you need a quarterback. If you pick it, if he was available at 20, 22, you might as well wait till the second round and get him. Because if he's your guy, you go get him. Because here's the thing that people miss, if I can help you now. You know this, Christian. Your dad knows this. You can find wide receivers anywhere. You don't have to pick one in the first round. You can find receivers second, third round. Heck, Stephon Diggs is a free agent right now. We know all the baby mamas he has. He's going to play his butt off this year if he gets a shot. But the thing is, people thought old Stafford came off an MVP. Are they forgetting the man is 38 years old who had a career of back issues? Father Time could tap his, it's like with Tom Brady, his last year. Father Time tapped him on the shoulder midway through. Peyton Manning's last year, I think he won the MVP the year before. Yeah, he had a great year. Guess what? Father Time tapped him on the shoulder. They benched him with Brock Osweiler until the playoff time. And you don't want to be, and plus, if you could be as good as you say you are, no one's going to draft capital for you to get a quarterback if they need one. And I think the reason that was secret, they didn't want the Browns or the Jets to trade up or the Steelers to trade up. Because all these people saying trade down, Christian, the Browns and the Jets had a bunch of picks. They might have taken them. And what do you do then? So I just think that people just look at traits. Because you remember the same folks talking about Trey thought Lenore Sellers would be the number one pick. Not knocking a kid, but you're speaking ball. But you see how that is.
Well, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, when you look at the NFL drafts, Smitty, I mean, you do have, you know, it depends on the prospect, right? There are a number of guys who, in fact, get selected because of the traits that they have. Now,
Anthony
quarterback,
Richardson.
Anthony Richardson at quarterback. But, I mean, look at the defensive side of things. How many times do we see defensive ends or edge rushers who don't have a whole bunch of production go in the first round over guys that might be double-digit sack guys, but because the guy, even though he had, you know, three sacks, he's 6'5", 250, runs a 4.5, right, has all the length in the world. Like, that's a very common thing. So, I mean, it depends on philosophy, right? I mean, you look at the Eagles' philosophy. I think their philosophy is, hey, we want – guys that come from programs like Alabama, Georgia, proven players, guys that we know are going to be physical. They understand the game of football. They've been in a system that we have seen translates extremely well to the NFL. So, I mean, I think it all just depends. But to your point, right, if he's your guy and you feel like he's your quarterback of the future, I'm not mad at the pick. I mean, could some people argue that maybe it was a little bit earlier than anticipated? Sure, but we don't really know that. Because we, at the end of the day, won't know if there is another team that would have been willing to take him at 14, 15, or 16. Like, you just don't know. You can listen, like you said, you can listen on these people talk and say that, oh, he was a late-round guy. But how many times have we seen guys that have second-round grades get drafted in the first round? I mean, New England took an offensive lineman a year or two ago in the first round that had a second-round grade. I mean, like I always say this, man, all it takes is one team to really fall in love with you. That's really all it takes. And – they're not going to overly reach, but if you're a fringe first, second round guy and they have a pick in the 20s, if they don't have a good enough, you know, a proposal to trade back a few spots, they'll take you a little earlier. So, I mean, I think it probably is a little bit of a blend of that. I mean, they might have taken him a little early, but again, if he's the quarterback of the future, I think it makes sense. And to your point about receivers, yeah, you can find guys later on, but there are some guys that are a little bit different. Jeremiah Smith, listen, that's not a receiver. Him. You take him. You take Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, we can agree on that.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends on the prospect.
Yeah, Mekhi Lemon. I take my swing at a quarterback. He's more of a slot guy.
He's a good player, though. Good player. I will say that.
And he's a good player, but we got to remember also, receiver actually has a nice little learning curve. And I remember the people talk Marvin Harrison Jr. And I'm like, guys, I don't know because I've never seen the boy separate. You know? Yeah. And guess what he has problems with in the league? He doesn't separate well. And there were people who like neighbors more. But that, before I talk about these quarterbacks, you talk production, right? It had traits. Shamar Stewart for Texas A&M. I think he had every year in college, he had one and a half sacks, despite all the traits. Guys, if that size and strength and that those traits, you don't got one and a half sacks per season, maybe you shouldn't be that guy just because you flip. Anthony Richardson did complete half his passes in college, but yeah, he's supposed to magically complete 60-75% of his passes in the league. Just because he can do a backflip doesn't mean he'll be a good quarterback. But but these quarterbacks, right? Like what Elijah Havey you're talking about. Here's the thing: if that boy want to come to your school, you take him. You figure it out later.
I agree. And let me be clear. Like just by me bringing up the scenario, like hey, you know, if you had an option to have 3 5-stars versus 2, then an elite tackle kind of. How would you manage that? This is me just talking because I'm trying to put my GM cap on. I'm not trying to do Courtney Morgan's job here. I'm just literally just saying, like, I just understand, man. NIL is like, you know, believe it or not, there's a budget, right? I mean, it doesn't grow on trees. So
yeah.
I'm with you. Like, listen, if Elijah Haven, the top quarterback prospect at a high school, wants to come here, you take him, especially after doing your homework and doing your evaluation, and then you kind of figure out the rest. All I'm saying is, let me ask you this, Smitty. Maybe you'll understand where I'm coming from. If you have a quarterback room like next year, which we anticipate having 3 guys, which I didn't realize Jed Tamala was a 5-star, but okay, I guess he is.
Yeah. Right?
You got Keelan Russell, who, let's say he ends up starting this year. You guys realize, man, like people are going to come and offer these guys stuff. If Keelan has a good year, just like you saw all these other guys, even guys that didn't even start last year, announced they're returning to Alabama, these are like 1-year deals. So you're going to anticipate him paying a guy like Keelan Russell even more money next year. So let's say $2+ million. Elijah Haven, I get he loves Alabama, but best believe if he's got an offer from Georgia for $2 million, he might take a little bit of a cut, but you're not getting him for half the money. I mean, that's crazy. Like, it's crazy to think that. So my whole point is, when you start talking about 3 top tier quarterbacks and then 2 more quarterbacks that are 4-stars that are, they're going to be cheaper for sure. All I'm saying is there's a very real chance the quarterback room costs just as much, if not more, than some of these, you know, portal guys. And all I'm saying is not even that argument, but if you had a choice to say, hey, we have 5 total quarterbacks on the roster, 3 of them are 5-stars, versus maybe drop one of those guys and get us a top-tier offensive tackle, knowing we have not had consistent offensive line play in several years, what would you do?
Here's the thing. Here's how I answer that question. I think they're doing some forecasting also. Because, one, transfer quarterbacks are costing more than these high school guys. And you bring in a transfer quarterback, he's expected to start.
Right.
We just got because I So that's one thing. I believe Keelan's going to start, and that means Austin Mack is going to be gone already. And I believe Keelan, who he is, he's a 2-year starter. He's going to the league. But then you got to worry about Jet Tamala and Caden Kava. I forget Kava, Caden Kava. I'm sorry. Steveborn and Haven. But I think what they're doing is taking swings at it because, hey, if you leave, you leave, but we keep taking swings because you don't want to be like Texas Tech over here where your guy out here, you know, bet like he's Pete Rose and stuff, and he's done, and you didn't invest in that position. And now because their immediate backup had an ACL late last season, and the other guy behind him kind of, let's just say, he should be playing on church league. But, you know, the thing is, I think what they're doing is because, like, the transfer guys are going up the prices. And some of those guys aren't really that good. And so maybe they're just taking these guys, taking swings, and, hey, you leave, we just got to keep taking swings at. And plus, you also got to factor in, somebody may just flat out stink. You know, Drew Allen was a five-star prospect, top quarterback in the class, and that boy stuck like hot dog water. Just being real, you know. But no, you don't know, you're injury. Right on that.
Listen, Smitty, you're right on that. I want to be clear. I'm in agreement with that, taking swings on these guys, really getting them in, developing them, retaining them.
I'll pay the left tackle.
I was about to say, I'm with all that. But what I'm saying is, don't you think there should be maybe a little bit of a number that we're talking about here? Oh, that's all I'm saying, right? Because here's my thing. 1 minute, Bama fans are saying Alabama doesn't have a bunch of NIL money. And the next minute, they act like we can just take a million five-star quarterbacks. And I'm just saying, if we in fact don't have that much money, if you're paying five-star quarterbacks, that could potentially, I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying it could maybe take away from, you know, getting a top-tier left tackle, who, in my opinion, I'm like, man, I like taking swings, but maybe we'll take one less swing. Maybe we'll take two swings on five stars, maybe not three. That way that third swing or that third quote-unquote strike, if you're quoting baseball, goes towards a left tackle. That's just me, though. That's just my thoughts.
And I'll say this before I run, because I know you're up against it. Thanks for taking my call, as always. Okay. We don't know how much money these folks are getting because none of this stuff is public knowledge. You know, but I wonder how much they're paying Jackson Lloyd. He was a highly rated tackle, right? Michael Carroll's five-star offensive lineman. I think sometimes with those, I think they're doing that, and I think that's probably why they're investing in high school where, you know this, for example, there's a reason Courtney Morgan won a freshman wage scale. There was a time when Sam Bradford came in the league and made as much money as Peyton Manning. I just think, we just see what happens, and none of these guys are guaranteed to stay next year either. So I think that's part of it, but I trust them, and I still think you just got to make those decisions also in special occasions. But you have a good one, Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir, you too, brother. Good stuff as always, man. I always appreciate Smitty. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll have a couple minutes real quick before we're joined by Clint Lamb. We'll talk to Clint about this because I know his opinion is a little bit different, and I think it'll be a good conversation right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the big 870. We'll react to the NFL draft from his perspective. We'll talk to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN as he'll connect the dots for the LA Rams and Ty Simpson. All starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more, once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. More thunderstorms arrive late today and tonight. Those storms could be severe. The high today, 82. The low tonight, 64. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, clearing by afternoon. The high, 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back in for about a minute or so before we hit this top of the hour break. And we'll be joined by Mr. Clint Lamb himself of Cover Crimson right here on the Miller's Edge. But first, let me remind you about our friends over at Lamparillo Law Education and Advocacy. The website is officially launched. So make sure you guys go check them out, man. I'm telling you, they will take care of you, whether it's for those representation needs. If you guys need any type of legal representation, whether it's misconduct, NIL matters, of course, any criminal defense situations, but also they've got you covered in terms of career and academic planning, high school, college, graduate students. They'll take care of you, help you out in the classroom, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery. They've got you covered. 201-317-5115 is how you can reach them on their phone. But of course, Lamparillo-law.com officially has launched. It's got all the information on there, including that pricing, which we always brag about will beat out any competitor, man. So they got you covered for an affordable price. So make sure you guys take advantage of it. Or you can always email Adam himself, adam@lamparillo-law.com. Again, that's Lamparillo Law Education and Advocacy, the official legal representation here on the Miller's Edge. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we got our guy Clint Lamb from Cover Crimson joining us right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In the NBA playoffs, Minnesota's first-round lead is now 3-2 after losing at Denver, 125-113. Nikola Jokic with a triple-double, including 16 assists. Number one Oklahoma City eliminated Phoenix in a 4-game sweep, 131-122, 31 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And in the East, Orlando leads the number one seed Detroit 3-1 after beating the Pistons, 94-88. The NBA Rookie of the Year is Cooper Flagg of Dallas. In the NHL playoffs late game, Vegas won in overtime 5-4 at Utah to tie that first rounder at 2 games apiece. Pittsburgh stayed alive, beating Philadelphia again 3-2. To baseball, the Dodgers with 3 runs bottom of the ninth beat Miami 5-4. The Yankees won 4-2 at Texas. Tampa Bay won its 5th straight, and the Cardinals scored 4 runs in the ninth to win at Pittsburgh 4-2.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're now joined by the man himself, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us every Tuesday at the top of the hour. Of course, you can always check out the great work that he does on Cover Crimson, all podcast platforms on YouTube and X as well, and his personal at Clint R. Lamb. Clint, welcome in, man. Happy Talking Tuesday to you.
Yeah, it's despite the fact that like A-Day is coming gone, spring practice is coming gone, this is now going to be the longest, what I would consider, lull. Even the NFL draft content, like, I love covering it. I love talking about it. I love hearing people talk about it. But from an audience perspective, I understand a lot of Alabama fans are very college football centric. They want to support the guys who get drafted. But as soon as they know where they went, you know, that's kind of the end of the conversation for a lot of people. So a lot of our stuff that we've done covering the draft, it hadn't been as popular. And it's all about trying to provide, and you understand this as much as I do, giving people what they want to hear and talk about. And so that's kind of been the focus, is finding that sweet spot. The good part about it is we're getting to that point with recruiting where May and June and July will really start to pick things up on that front. So I'm looking forward to those conversations for sure.
Sounds like I'm going to have to start talking a little bit more recruiting. I always tell people on here, man, they'll ask me, like, hey, what do you think about this guy? I'm like, I got to be honest. Same. I don't keep up with it a whole bunch, but you're right. You got to talk about what they want to talk about. And sometimes people are like, man, you guys don't talk a bunch of basketball. I'm like, listen, people want to talk football, Alabama football, day in, day out. Even if you think it's getting old, there's always something, even if it's circling back to a conversation, that people want to talk Alabama football. So, yeah, I think recruiting is going to be.
And I always tell people, trust me, you want me talking football way more than you want me talking basketball. Because if I'm talking basketball, y'all better have a guest on. You know, we did some stuff with Richard Hendricks, and he does a fantastic job. And that's where I really started to go down that lane, because I felt like I had somebody that could provide information for people. But I can't tell you how many times I've tried to run that stuff myself, and people who actually know what they're talking about are just like, Clint's so far out in left field with this. And it's like, I've always been one of those people that I don't like speaking on things I don't know anything about. And I enjoy watching basketball. I can tell you who scored how many points, who had how many rebounds. But as far as, you know, one thing Richard told me while we were talking, and it was eye-opening, was, I mean, just people think if the ball goes in the hoop, you had a good game. And if the ball doesn't go in the hoop, you had a bad game. And he's like, there's way more to it than that. And I'm like, I'm one of those people. You know, if they're knocking down shots, I think they play great. And there is a lot more nuance, like with football. I mean, so, Yeah, it's one of those things where I always tell people, trust me, you don't want me talking much basketball.
I'm the same way, man. Anytime I was on a basketball court, I just was fouling a bunch of people. I'm not a physical play. I'm not a technical guy. I'm just a football guy out here at the rec, just trying to just guard people because I don't have the best jumper. So there's that. Clint, you mentioned the NFL draft. I want to start there because we're kind of talking about or planning on talking about how this upcoming roster could potentially build off what we saw this most recent NFL draft. Alabama had 10 guys selected, 2 in the first round. Some people may be wondering if there was going to be a little bit of a, not a drop off, but just maybe if the draft looked a little bit different this season. And I would say it was pretty consistent with what we've seen over the past few years. Now, again, you know, it was very heavy on the day 3 side of things, but still a number of guys that ended up getting their names called, a couple guys that didn't. That might have been some shockers. Deontay Lawson probably the main one there, Clint. I think people were kind of surprised. My thought on that, this is my take. One thing I know about the NFL, man, if you're not a starting linebacker, there's a 100% rate that you will be playing special teams. I can't think of how many snaps I saw Deontay play on special teams. And, of course, we all know the injury history. I think those two things combined probably hurt him in this situation. Now, I thought he played a lot better as the season went on last year. It looked like he got a lot healthier and he kind of was returning to form. But, you know, it's the NFL draft, man. I mean, there's just no telling kind of the grades or evaluations that folks had did. But tell me, Clint, just your overall thoughts, even with the Ty Simpson thing, because we haven't even spoke about that now that I think about it. And going to the Rams, overall, Alabama's draft class, any surprises or fits that you really like? What'd you take away from it?
Obviously, you know, when you get double-digit players drafted, that's fantastic. You know, I was looking at Georgia and comparing it to Alabama. Just from a, okay, you know, how does Alabama stack up? And granted, I want to say Georgia maybe had either one or two players drafted in the first round. I know Monroe Freeling went in the first. There's no one else that's standing out that went. So I was
the only one.
Yeah, so I looked at that. I'm like, oh, actually, you know, a lot of people have been complaining about Alabama and the talent and everything else. They ended up having more first-round picks than Georgia. Well, then you look at the day 2 picks. And Alabama, I think, ended up with 3 total between first and second round. Georgia had 6 total. So just in that second, third round, they ended up doubling up Alabama. So a lot of Alabama's guys who were drafted, 7 of the 10, ended up going on day 3. Certainly not bad. Maybe not to the same extent as fans are maybe accustomed to seeing from Tuscaloosa. But I think that Ty Simpson going number 13 overall, I understand it. I've kind of said a lot of times you take – a risk when you draft any player in the first round. And with Trent McDuffie, they had 2 first round draft picks where they had traded down the year before, and they had got a surefire bona fide starting corner. So you had already kind of given yourself that piece that is going to help your football team in 2026 compared to 2025. And you still had that first round pick. And a lot of people forget you can still do things as far as the roster is concerned. If you're picking number 32 next year, number 31, despite the fact that it's a really good quarterback class, is there going to be a quarterback if you at that point, Matthew Stafford, maybe he has a little bit of a declining year, you know, that he may be 1 year away and you're trying to figure out how to get your franchise, you know, your future of the franchise in the building, you know, would you be able to get in within striking distance of being able to draft a franchise, you know, a potential franchise arm? They kind of viewed it as we're picking number 13. I think they wanted to trade down, but as far as being in the teens, they're like, we don't plan to do this very often. And so you can always take what will end up being the number 30 or 31 pick next year, flip that for an A.J. Brown type of player, not saying A.J. Brown, he feels like he's going to be a Patriot, but you can do that, and then you can shore up your wide receiver room that way. You know, a lot of people, and then it kind of flip-flops, you know, instead of you get the immediate impact from a future pick, but then you get from your current pick, you get a guy who's going to be set up for the future like Ty Simpson. I liked the approach. I think it was a good business decision, both in – maybe not necessarily in the short term, but long term. And he's going to be a guy who is really going to fit that Sean McVay system. So I loved that. I loved, you know, where Josh Quavis ended up as far as the Baltimore Ravens. I think that was a good fit. You know, there were several guys, Justin Jefferson ending up with the Cleveland Browns. Kind of they went and got Quincy Williams in free agency. They got Carson Schlesinger. But, you know, a guy like Justin Jefferson, you talk about special teams. I think that's one of the big elements that helped him get drafted where he was. But he also is kind of a toolsy guy, not overly big, but he's going to be able to help out both on defense and on special teams. So I think that kind of positions him well to kind of stick around in the NFL for quite a while.
Yeah, LT Overton to the Cowboys is interesting. I think they might be working more of a 3-4 defense, if I'm not mistaken. kind of wonder how he fits there. Regardless, I love the pick. My uncle's a diehard Cowboys fan and wanted the scoop on him. And I'm like, listen, for the value, I don't know if you'd find a better guy that's built to play the run. He's disruptive. We know his pass rush ability. Got great measurables, right? Kind of mentioned him as a little bit of a tweener, just given that, I mean, technically, he probably could be a 3-4 outside backer in certain situations, situationally, right? I mean, because he does have experience doing that. I think he did that at Texas A&M a little bit.
He did.
Yeah, and so, but we also know he can work a 4-eye. Sub packages, he'll slide down to a 3. And plus, people have to remember, there's different types of, like, 3-4 outside backers, right? Like, we used to have a Sam and a Jack. He would not be the Sam, but he could be a big body Jack who most of the time, you know, we're playing under fronts. He's going to, you know, have his hand in the dirt and it's more of like a 4-down look. And Sam, I'm standing up. So I can right. see something like that. But I think that's an interesting pick there, but I like it. You know, he's teaming up with Quinnen Williams. They drafted Caleb Downs. I thought that was solid. And Damani Jackson, you know, I was talking about him yesterday. I know, you know, people, you know, look at the season he had and it definitely was not his great year of football, but, you know, behind the scenes, dude was dealing with a lot, you know, physically from an injury standpoint that wasn't really, you know, publicly announced. And I just know as a cornerback, once you kind of lose some of that confidence, man, it can just snowball. It's almost like a pitcher with the yips, so to speak. But I do think a lot of guys landed in some really good spots, and I'm excited for their opportunities, and hopefully they can definitely stick and find their way in the league. I know some of those undrafted guys, I mean, Nakai Hill Green with the Rams. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he, you know, works his way on special teams and ends up sticking there. I mean, out of those undrafted guys, Clint, anybody that you feel like has the best chance a decade in the league as an undrafted free agent, out of those five guys, who do you think has the best chance of really sticking in the league?
I think you nailed it. I think Nakai Hill Green. Now, I like Jaden Roberts ending up with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know that they got some aging guys that they're trying to find long-term replacements for, so he'll be given some opportunities, I'm sure. But Nakai Hill Green, if you're going to be an undrafted free agent, number one, I 100% agree with you that that's why Deontay Lawson ended up falling completely out of the draft. I think the injury history, you know, kind of him trying to come back from that injury, you don't know what pops up on the medicals. I'm sure that probably played a part. Mm-hmm. He was never going to be this. He doesn't have this superstar profile. He's just a very reliable, very good player, that he's very steady player. But the fact that, you know, he's not going to make a huge impact that we know of on special teams, he's not known for being one of those types of players. Once you hit a certain point, a lot of it is, you know, you're looking for very specialized situational players, you know, guys that fit something that you're looking for, or a guy that's going to be able to help you out on special teams. And so with Nakai Hill Green, because he brings that side of it or that element, I think that's going to give him a better opportunity to stick around. Not saying Deontay Lawson won't make the Philadelphia Eagles roster. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he did. But I'm saying that, you know, Nakai Hill Green probably will have more of an opportunity with him being more of an established special teams player. So he's definitely one that stands out. And I think that they had multiple guys. So, you know, even Tim Keenan being a guy who went extremely late, being a 7th-round draft pick, I think when you talk about the types of things he can do for you, it's not going to be super valued necessarily in the NFL if you can't get up to the quarterback as an interior defensive lineman or really just as a guy, you know, on the defensive front at all. There's going to be limited value, but he's one of those guys who can provide something as far as, you know, holding up in the middle of your defense where he could end up playing a situational role as well.
We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Make sure you guys check out all the work that they do. You can find them on all your podcast platforms at Cover Crimson and, of course, on YouTube and on X, and Clint's personal at Clint R. Lamb. Clint, I want to ask you about this upcoming year in the roster and really look ahead to the 2027 NFL draft. I know you guys and a lot of people have been kind of jumping ahead. Today's our day to do that. Who do you see on this roster that could potentially hear their name called in that, you know, first round or even I'll say first 2 days, right? Because I think when you look at it, it's kind of hard when you expand it, you know, day one and day two, because, I mean, from guys like, you know, Yanze Pierre, Zabian Brown, I feel like they're definitely in that conversation as day one picks for sure. And then I'm probably missing a couple guys here or there. But then you also go to look at even some of these young players. I mean, like there's literally, man, even for the following year, I don't want to jump that far ahead. But it looks like Alabama's got a roster that's filled with guys with a lot of upside, a lot of NFL-type potential. But looking at the 2027 NFL draft specifically, who are some names that you would say have a good chance of being early picks?
Number one, it is really early. And I always right. want to remind people, like, I mean, we talk about some of these conversations we were having last year. I thought LT Overton was a rock solid day two pick with the upside if he could maybe start to finish a little bit better. of being a day one draft pick. He was certainly being mocked up there, and it made a lot of sense to me. Now, if you'd have told me that he ran a 4.87 in the 40, I would have probably tempered expectations a little bit, but I still really like the player, and I think Dallas got a really good player. But I always like to start with that, and I like that you expanded it, because if you're holding people to a first-round standard, I think there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there. Like a guy like Yanze Pierre, I could totally see him being a first-round draft pick. I really can. I can also see him being one of those types of players who slips to the second. Now, from a measurable standpoint, being 250-plus pounds already, you know, having – he seems pretty twitched up. I don't think there's going to be anything athletically or length like Cassius Howell. His problem was length, but that caused him to drop to early day two. You know, I don't think he's going to have any of those limitations, but I also wouldn't be shocked if he ended up being a day two draft pick. A guy like Xavien Brown, definitely think he's played like a first-round pick. He's definitely had first-round pick types of moments, but from an athletic profile perspective, do I think he's going to test be an elite tester? Probably not. Probably going to be steady. Think he'll check all the necessary boxes, but sometimes when you just do everything well on that front, then there's these other guys who maybe are a lot bigger, maybe a lot faster, and kind of wow you, have a 42-inch vertical or something. Sometimes those guys, you know, the NFL falls in love with those guys, and then a guy like Xavien Brown, who's going to be a rock-solid starter for you for a very long time, ends up dropping a day two. Ryan Williams, the uncertainty with him, definitely a guy who could go in the first round of next year's draft if he has a strong bounce-back season, but from a size perspective, from an inconsistency perspective right now, you just don't know what to expect from him. So while he was once considered a potential top 10 pick for the future, he's far from that right now, which right. is why I say we can talk about that next wave of guys, the 2028 possibilities, and you just never know. So I definitely think those guys are squarely in the conversation. Guys like Devin Tompkins, I think I wouldn't really view Caleb Woodson as a day one pick, but I think with a lot of what you're seeing as far as them wanting the length and the athleticism combination and off-ball linebacker, Woodson certainly fills those two. Got to see him in a crimson uniform and see how he performs. I think he's got to play better in Tuscaloosa than he did at Virginia Tech. But if he can do some of those things, I think he can climb. And then, you know, I think Bray Hubbard, if you expand it to day two, I think there will be some athletic limitations, but he definitely feels like a guy who would, you know, go second round, maybe third round, and end up, you know, starting in the NFL for a very long time. So I think they got multiple of those players, and it's just a matter of determining who ends up, you know, are able to kind of build on what they've already done in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it definitely feels like you said, very early, right? So many things can change. Guys that aren't really on the radar could end up working themselves in some of those early round conversations, and vice versa. They're, like you mentioned, you know, sometimes you have a guy that at one point in their career, I mean, even look at all these quarterbacks recently, man. How many quarterbacks have we gone into the season saying these guys are, you know, mocked to be first rounders, and they end up available on the board in the seventh round? I mean, you just never know. Granted, quarterback's one of those positions where it kind of really fluctuates, but I totally agree with what you're saying. Because I want to ask you now about the commitment of Elijah Haven. We'll start there real quick. I know we got a few more minutes left, but kind of what does that commitment mean in your eyes for Alabama, Kalen DeBoer? I mean, it's coming off the heels of the extension with Kalen DeBoer. I know one of the clips I listened to from Elijah, he talked about not only the relationships that he's built with this staff, but also the stability that he was seeking. He just felt like there was some stability here in Tuscaloosa that made him feel comfortable. So what does that pickup mean, getting a guy like Elijah Havens? And then we'll ultimately kind of talk about, from the logistics standpoints, what does that mean maybe for this quarterback room?
Well, as far as the physical tools, off the charts, but it's not just physical tools. You know, a lot of times I don't really – you know, nothing wrong with Anthony Richardson, but he was a very toolsy guy who really lacked something. I think experience, more experience in the college level probably would have helped him. But just when he was coming out, you can't argue against, you know, the things that he brings from a physical perspective. The arm strength, the size, the mobility. I mean, he was just a special, special player. But has he become a NFL starting quarterback? No, there's still plenty of time. He's still young. But, you know, it's one of those things where I typically am not one of those guys who just falls in love with the physical tools. I got to see something like, can you play the quarterback position at a pretty high level? And I feel like with Haven, as I watch him, I think he can. I just think that they actually put quite a bit on his plate for a junior in high school as far as allowing him to make some checks at the line of scrimmage, as far as, you know, allowing him to do some things, as far as you're going to see quarterbacks, especially with that kind of talent, they're going to be able to go off script. You want them to be able to do that, but also playing within the system. I think he does that at a pretty high level, seems to process information pretty well for a younger player. And so I look at that type of talent and I'm like, I understand why he's the number one quarterback in the country. And you still want to see continued growth, but the growth that he made going from just his sophomore to his junior year was incredible. And he's always kind of been viewed as this caliber of player, and yet he continuously gets better year over year. So I think a lot of the expectation with him is, if he continues on this trajectory, how much better can he be a year from now? And that's really exciting if you're Alabama. Now, as far as kind of where he fits in, I just think that that type of talent, if you can land that type of talent, you go after it all day. I think he fits the system. I think he can do everything that you would require out of that position. And I just think that some of the other traits, the size and the fact that he can kind of be a volume runner, I think he can be a threat down there in the red area where things get condensed, add the plus one to the run game. I just think that when he can do all those various things for you, it's a no-brainer. But, I mean, absolutely, you got to look at this quarterback room and say, it is littered with talent. I mean, they've done a fantastic job of acquiring talent. And now it's just a matter of sorting through it and figuring out who's going to be the one to end up being Alabama's starting quarterback for the future.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like a lot of the – even, I mean, Coward did some interesting things this spring. I mean, he had some opportunities, and he looked to be a good football player. And I know people were kind of discussing, well, Trent Seaborn, what's happening with him now? But – if you just look at, I mean, the guy's on campus like every weekend, I feel like. Not to mention, he kind of grew up. I think he's one of those guys. I mean, he's Alabama through and through. I think he's even come out and said he's excited to add, to the group in this recruiting class and get out there and compete. And I always, use the example. I mean, one of these guys could be a three and out type player. Seaborn, he strikes me as a guy that would be patient. He might not start until his fourth or fifth year, but it only takes really 1 year. And if that's what he wants to do, and he's willing to be patient, I could see that working out just fine. So it's not one of those things where if you take two quarterbacks, it means one will never get an opportunity. There's a lot of different factors here. But that leads me to my next, and we can probably wrap up on this one. I know you just got a couple more minutes, but when you look at the logistics of this, I know some people view it as, maybe overspending on the quarterbacks. I don't necessarily view it like that. But when you do look at a world where NIL – and your budget, right, whether it's the revenue share cap, which is supposed to be enforced, which we all know everybody kind of goes above and beyond. But even if you just kind of look at it from the lens, well, a lot of people say Alabama doesn't have the biggest NIL budget, but then you see how much you're assuming is being put into these quarterbacks. The way I viewed it, Clint, was even though you're not paying as much as a transfer portal quarterback, which I would say for a top-level quarterback, I think you mentioned 4 to 5, now we're starting to see like upwards of 6, but we'll go with 4 to 5 because I think that's probably a little bit more, I wouldn't say on record, but that feels a little bit more fitting right now, at least. Next year, probably different. But in my mind, I'm like, you still are probably averaging at 7 figures for a lot of these players, at least. And then you talk about Keelan Russell going into his third year. He might not be demanding $4 million from Alabama, but even if you're paying him $2 million, that's half of what he could go make. I mean, we just got to be realistic in terms of there. Even if it's not the kid themselves, I don't think Keelan Russell would go to Coach DeBoer's office and say, hey, I could go make $4 million. I want $40 million. He's not going to do it. But guess who probably would? His agent or representative. I mean, you just got to think of it like from a pro perspective. So in my mind, when I view it like that, I'm like, there's a chance, and we don't know specific numbers, but this roster could have a quarterback room that's a $5 or $6 million room. You don't know. So it probably ends up being similar to what you'd pay for one of these transfer portal guys. But the way I kind of brought up yesterday was, is there a point where you consider, all right, we have the luxury of having 3 5-star quarterbacks. I love the fact that we're taking swings, but knowing what we know about our offensive line, is it worth considering, which you, I think you anticipate maybe one of these guys leaving anyway, taking maybe the money that you would save from one of those quarterbacks and saying, hey, instead of going for a 3rd 5-star, let's maybe invest that towards a top-tier offensive tackle that we feel is, hey, this is probably a 3-and-out type offensive lineman that we know what we're getting out of this guy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think number one, you and I both, as we know, are working off limited information. This would be so much easier if there was even just reports of what they were roughly making, right?
True.
But what I will say is I look at, okay, for example, Tayden Kyle wasn't expensive. He wasn't. Right. Trent Seaborn, despite the fact he's a 4-star recruit, I don't think he was that expensive. I think he really wants to be in Tuscaloosa. I think even guys like Jet Tomala. I mean, this is a guy who was an Iowa State commitment. He was a very low-rated 4-star. You probably did give him, some amount of money. But did you pay him what a five-star would be getting paid? Probably not. Now, granted, by the time he was rated a five-star, is Jet Tomlin the type of player who came to Alabama and said, hey, I'm a five-star now. I need you to up my NIL if I'm going to sign on the dotted line. Probably not. Even Keelan Russell. Now, granted, Keelan, you need to have a different conversation once they start entering year two. That's the expectation. Right. But even Keelan, it's kind of the same thing. He was a three-star recruit, committed to SMU, and Alabama got him. I'm sure they gave him a very respectable NIL package. But was he commanding the type of money based off of where his final ranking was? Probably not, because he wasn't ranked when out. And those types of players, they're not going to come and say, hey, I'm rated a lot higher. I deserve more. So I'm not saying that Alabama's not taking care of these guys. I just don't know what that means. And if they did go back to them and say, hey, you are rated as a five-star, we're going to give you a little bit more. Or if it's, you know, Keelan Russell now entering year two, it is time for a different conversation. And from my understanding, Alabama is pretty proactive and pretty good about understanding a player's value. And I don't think players are having to chase them asking for more money, or agents are having to chase them. I think it's them saying, hey, we like what, you know, like a Jackson Lloyd, you know, he didn't do anything. You know, he played what, 41 snaps this past season. So nothing on the field, but the coaching staff really liked how he was developing behind the scenes. They definitely viewed him as their left tackle of the future. And so there's an approach and a conversation of, we like where you're heading. We've definitely value you, and we're going to take care of you. I think that's where the staff is kind of building things. Now, granted, you know, and I think that right now, like, you take such a risk. A lot of times these transfer portal quarterbacks are going to come in and they're going to be dudes for you. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, Fernando Mendoza just won the Heisman Trophy in his lone season in Indiana. But at the same time, when you are investing more so in the long term, you're getting multiple options. You're letting those options kind of sort themselves out. And then, you know, the following year, if a guy approaches you wanting more money, but it's like we're not really seeing him as a long term fit, you might sit there and tell him, you know, hey, we just don't have it for you. And if he chooses to leave, at that point, you're letting everything work itself out. If it's a guy that you is a must keep, you'll figure out a way to keep him. I think you can make some of this stuff work. But we are working off of limited information.
Absolutely. And I want to be clear. I mean, I like the approach that they take. I've always said, I mean, recruiting your core group of football players from high school, like good quality players, whether it's Sadarius Morgan, Jackson Lloyd, Michael Carroll, you know, the list goes on, right? Xavier Brown. And then you just patch those holes via the portal. I think that's probably the best of both worlds and the best case scenario for any school, in my opinion. However, I just view it, I'm like, man, if you are, in fact, working with a true budget, which everybody's supposed to be, I just wonder, at some point, do you have to start making those decisions? Again, I still want to recruit five-star quarterbacks, but if it gets to a point where you had to choose between the two, if I put my GM cap on, I'm just saying, I personally would say, all right, we got two five-star quarterbacks here. If we had to make a decision, I just know how important trench play is and how inconsistent it has been here in Tuscaloosa. And I think that's the only reason that comes to my mind. Even when you sign a guy like Elijah Haven, I'm just like, all right, we got another blue chip quarterback prospect. I love it. But what are we putting in front of this guy to make sure him or whoever comes in after him has success? And we're not looking back again, like saying, hey, but we had these players, but we couldn't run the ball, but we couldn't protect them. And knowing that's really what separates good to great to elite football teams. So I think it's a very interesting topic and a great discussion to have. Because, I mean, listen, we're in that world now where that's why GMs are making so much money in college football. They have to make these decisions on a daily basis. I'll be the first one to tell you, I completely trust Courtney Morgan a lot more than I do. I trust myself, I should say, because I'm not doing it every day. Like you said, we don't have these concrete numbers. So just a fun conversation, discussion to have. But Clint, as always, man, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's been fun today. I really appreciate you hopping on here. And of course, tell everybody how they can listen to you and all the good work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it as well. Great conversation. You can find me at Clint R. Lamb on Twitter. You can find me on the Cover Crimson YouTube channel. And then also we got the podcast, Cover Crimson Podcast Network is where you need to search if you're on Apple or Spotify or wherever. But once again, Christian, I appreciate you having me on, and we'll definitely have to do this again next week, brother.
Yeah, thank you, man. Absolutely. Hopefully we got some more conversations and maybe another big recruit. I don't know. Recruiting season's upon us, so we'll have to see.
But yeah, for sure, man. Good talking to you, brother.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Take care, Clint. Good stuff, man. Our guy Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us on Tuesdays at the top of the hour. We appreciate him. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are the resort.
Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com.
Don't miss Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias live
Saturday, August 15th, Pearl River Resort.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. More thunderstorms arrive late today and tonight. Those storms could be severe. The high today, 82. The low tonight, 64. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, clearing by afternoon. The high, 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Really good conversation with our guy Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. If you guys missed it, I'm going to clip it up and post it separately because I know you guys really enjoy when Clint comes on here. So we'll definitely get that for you. If anybody missed it or you just want to rewind, you guys can also do that as well. Really good conversation today, Reed. I know we've talked about it a little bit already. We just talked about it with Clint. I'll read some of you guys' chat here in a second. But first, we do got to get caught up a little bit. So let me remind you about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Now, today's a little bit of a stormy day, so you probably don't want to take advantage of the porch. However, the good news is the mansion is obviously they've got indoors, man, plenty of, what do they call, humidifiers and things like that that allow you to just sit back, relax, and kick it over there. So if you guys want to find a place to go hang out, enjoy a nice stick, heck, maybe host a Bible study like my dad does. For whatever reason, he always finds himself hosting Bible studies at cigar lounges. Maybe Reagan will let you guys do that. Check out R&R Cigars. You can always use that code Miller's Edge on their website, rnrcigars.com, to get yourself a nice discount, whether it's for you personally or they always make great gifts. And don't forget, if you do go on over and check out R&R Cigars, they've got plenty of drinks for you, over 160 bourbons there. Drink responsibly, of course, but in terms of the environment, you like sports talk, you like cigars, nice drink, to pair up with it, man. You can't beat R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. And, of course, that website, rnrcigars.com, code Miller's Edge, and free shipping if your order qualifies. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. And, of course, here on the Miller's Edge as well. All right, we got to hit another timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition. I think we're open on the phone lines. Anybody want to respond to what we've been talking about? Whether that's the whole, you know, NFL draft recap we've been talking about, looking ahead, who do you guys feel could be first rounders in the 2027 NFL draft, or really day two picks as well? And then, of course, the conversation. If you were putting your GM cap on and say there was a hard cap and you had to, you know, decide between taking one guy or another, how would you kind of go about that? Maybe we'll expand a little bit, Reed. Maybe we'll play a game. We need to do this one day, kind of break it up into tiers of players by position and say you got $25 million to work with. How would you assemble your team? I think I'm going to make a graphic and post that on our X account, but I think that'd be a fun game to play and see what people come up with. Yeah, I think we should. We think we should do that. Hopefully, we got to get on it now. If people heard us, they heard us say it. Now they're going, it's a race to make the graphic. Yeah, we'll do all that when we come back. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
so you can stay focused on whatever you're doing. Dell Technologies, built for you. Dell.com/DellPCs.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
From Tuscaloosa to the world.
Download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Reed, I'm going to work on this graphic, but I mean, let's just try to play this game a little bit via the radio. Now, I don't know exactly how. Well, let's start with offense. So we'll cut it to 24 million because we'll say just 12 and 12. We'll say we're budgeting 12 on offense and 12 on defense. Now, I guess I need to do the logistics a little bit more because, you know, when you see these things, you normally got what, like a $5, $4, $3, $2, $1 tier. So I guess if we did that with millions, I'm not going to lie to you, that would be a little bit tough to really do. But I guess we could figure it out. Or maybe we should just do 3-2-1. That's probably better, right? We could just do 3-2-1. So if you were building a roster and we did 3-2-1, $3 million, $2 million, $1 million, which is still way too much. Maybe we should cut it. Ah, dang. This is, I might need to think about this because the reality is you're not going to have that. When you pick the rest of these guys for 1 million, that's not, we're going to have to maybe do 3-2-1 and then 500K. I think that could be solid. Or if we add a fifth one, do 250 as well. Maybe we won't play this right now, but maybe that's what we should do. What do you think about that, Reed? Like, let's talk this through, even though we've already spilled the secret, man. We know this is coming. we listen, somebody else that makes content is going to have this damn list out before us. Then I will be heated, but it's all good, man. We're talking at the, you guys heard it first. If you hear a build a roster graphic or you see what I should say, just know it was born right here on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Reed, like, let's talk through this so we can get this put together after we get off air. 3 million, 2 million, 1 million, 500K, 250K, maybe five different tiers, and then 12 mil for offense, 12 mil for defense. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty solid format. I think that pretty suits it, you know, because I guess it really depends, like, at least splitting half and half. I think half and half is, you know, fair, but, like, do we feel like, and maybe that's a question for, you know, you to answer. Do you feel like if you're the GM, are you splitting it half and half, or are you kind of leaning more toward the offense? And plus, You know what I mean? Like, it really depends on the scheme.
That's a good question. You know, listen, if it was me, like, before we get into to the specifics, if I'm building a football team, let's backtrack. We kind of, I guess we did jump the gun. So thank you for reeling us back a little bit, Reed. That's a fair point. Let's just talk about who we would really, where we would invest most of our money. We'll start here. I know you guys in the chat are talking inside out, outside in, right? I think most good football teams slash franchises slash organizations typically go inside out. Right. I always use the example of, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles past couple of seasons. I mean, you look at their offensive line. I mean, they invested heavily in their offensive line. And they drafted Jalen Hurts as a second round pick, if I'm not mistaken. People are wondering why they drafted him at the time. It was a little bit of a luxury pick. Clearly worked out. You know, he led them to two Super Bowls, right? Winning one of those Super Bowls and also being named MVP. And this is not to take anything away from Jalen, because I think Jalen is a phenomenal quarterback. But one could argue that, you know, there's other quarterbacks on other teams that haven't had the success that he's necessarily had, that people might rank a little bit ahead of Jalen, even though I think Jalen is definitely one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at the way the roster was built for Philadelphia when they were winning Super Bowls, they have an offensive line unit that was literally top two in the National Football League, right? I mean, most people regard them as the top unit, but I mean, maybe from a statistic standpoint, I don't know. Maybe it's top two, top three, I don't know. But you look at that, you look at a defensive unit where if you go back to the Super Bowl that they won, I mean, Reed, look at how dominant that defensive performance was. I mean, they were all littering the whole backfield, right? I mean, disruptive as can be. I can't remember how many sacks that they had. Josh Sweat had a big game. I mean, they just across the board, and granted, a lot of these guys were guys that they had drafted, or there are a lot of younger guys that they were working with, so they didn't necessarily go spend a whole bunch in free agency, if I remember correctly, but what I'm getting at is they put a lot of attention on defense. So if I'm building a football team, that would probably be my personal approach. Number one, we're going to play some damn good defense, which means we're going to have to invest heavily in our defense. I'm going to invest guys in the trenches, right? I want some dudes up front. But also, no, I'm going to have to get some corners that can cover. I need some guys that can play man coverage. I need some guys that can defend their turf, right? So I want some good secondary play. But across the board, I want good defense. But up front, man, we got to stop the run first and foremost. So I'm going to get some dudes up front. Definitely got to have some good pass rushers. But see, so it gets expensive. So to answer your question, might be a little bit more money put on the defense, maybe like a 60-40 situation. I think it all depends. But, like, I don't want just one good edge rusher. Like, I want a couple guys that can get after the quarterback. I know how important that is. And I'm a little biased, man. I played edge. We need us a guy at linebacker, right? He might not necessarily have to be, Luke Kuechly in terms of, like, just how good he is. He needs to be good, but he needs to have Luke Kuechly type leadership and intellectual ability to be the quarterback of the defense. That'll be big for me as well. So I'd have to put some money there. Man, yeah, that's tough. But in terms of offense, man, I'm definitely going to make sure we have some dudes up front. But you still, at the end of the day, you still got to have guys that can make plays. You need playmakers. But maybe it looks a little bit more like New England approach. How much do they spend on their wide receivers? Probably not like a whole bunch. I mean, one of my teammates, Chris Hogan, I don't know if you remember him. He played with New England, Amendola. I mean, guys like that. I mean, I don't think those were big money wide receivers. Now, I'd probably have maybe another, I guess, receiver or two that was a little bit more of a dude. But I don't know, Reed. I mean, that's kind of my approach. I mean, I definitely would want a good quarterback for sure. But I personally believe, depending on the system that you're running, I've seen a lot of game managing quarterbacks have a lot of more, not necessarily a lot more success individually, but when you talk about winning championships, how many times have we seen game managers go and win it all versus guys that are the game changers not really have as many Super Bowls to claim? I don't know. I almost would argue that you might have more game managers as Super Bowl or just champions in general than you do really having game changers. I could be totally wrong, but it's just when I think about a lot of these teams that have won in recent years, I think a lot of times you got quarterbacks that played really well within the system, and they have a hell of a supporting cast versus some of these other teams that have dudes at quarterback, game-changing type quarterbacks. For some reason, I feel like they don't always have as much success. I don't know. Maybe we have to think about that. We need to hit a timeout to stay on schedule. So let's do that. We'll hit a timeout. We'll think about that. I want to get y'all's thoughts. Are game managers typically more likely to win championships or game changers? That's kind of an interesting question. We'll answer that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed-sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
County Road 16, New Bern, Alabama. For more information, call 334-216-0775. Mark your calendar. You won't want to miss this exciting event.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
And it comes with a lifetime powertrain warranty.
Lease 2026, Honda Civic Sport, zero due at signing, 36 month lease, 10,000 miles per year, closed end lease, no security deposit required, exclude tax, title, license, and dealer fees, with approval from Honda Financial Services. Offer ends 4/30/26.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. More thunderstorms arrive late today and tonight. Those storms could be severe. The high today 82, the low tonight 64. Tomorrow rain ending early in the day, clearing by afternoon. The high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide?
Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday. This is from the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Reed, I got to ask you, man, now that the conversation's kind of segued a little bit, man, game changer versus game manager, man. We're talking about, you know, building a football team, right? And kind of your, I guess, philosophy, if you were putting your GM cap on and were putting that position. But when you get to the quarterback position, man, this is an interesting question. You can ask your guy behind you, too. I don't think I've met him before, but.
Yeah, Christian, this is Whitman.
Hey, all right, Christian, Whitman, nice to meet you, man. Yeah, man.
Hang out with Wyatt during his show, and I'm actually hosting his show this week while he's on vacation, so excited.
Oh, nice.
Nice to meet you.
Well, good deal, man. Yeah, absolutely. You too, man. Well, here, you can answer this too, man. We're talking about building a football team. We're at the part where, listen, your philosophy as a GM, you know, we're talking about if you're going to invest heavily, at least this is my approach, I'm building inside out. I want good offensive line play. I want guys in the trenches. I'm going to put a lot of money there. I might not have as much money left over to have that true game-changing type quarterback. Of course, we're going to strive for it, but when you look at two different quarterback styles, man, what do you feel like typically leads to more success from a team standpoint? Obviously, individually, game-changers are probably going to outperform the other guys statistically, but when I think of guys that win a lot of championships, I think there's a lot of game-manager-type quarterbacks. What are your thoughts on the game-managers, you know, versus game changing, I guess, quarterbacks?
I think there's a superb amount of logic behind the game manager argument because, you know, I heard on the way over here, I heard you guys talk a lot about it. Your money's going on the offensive and defensive line, and you're not alone in that thought. I don't think there's a football coach in America, be it G5, Power 5, NFL, that thinks that they can win a game without a strong offensive and defensive line. And, you know, you hear a lot of talk about teams being a quarterback away. You know, these very, very talented franchises or programs, if it's in college, where they really are just a quarterback away. And that guy doesn't always have to be that game changer, Heisman winner, MVP, depending on what you're talking about. But I think, you know, if you want to be game managed to a championship instead of game changed to a championship, you better have the guys in the trenches, because at the end of the day, you know, nobody's going to win a championship without a big time throw. I don't care how good your running back is, how good, you know, your defense is. You're going to need a big time throw or two to get through playoffs, to get to a championship at whatever level you're playing. So if you're going to go the game manager route, you really need to make sure that your offensive line is in the upper echelon of your competition. But even if you go with the game changer guy, you know, I don't know how much I'd sacrifice on that offensive line. I think there's definitely a happy medium where I say, you know, you don't go full Kirk Cousins, but you also just don't abandon it and go full Lamar Jackson either. I think there's a lot to be desired for that middle ground kind of. Maybe if you're looking at the professional route, maybe like a Jordan Love type guy who, if he needs to, can sit back and put up 40 passes in the pocket, but is also very capable of moving, extending, you know, gaining. So I'd say if you're building from a ground up, I'd go game manager and worry about building the team around him, because we see it every year with first round picks. You know, the guys that get drafted first overall, they're supposed to be game changers. But you can't elevate a JV squad to a Super Bowl championship. You know, you can elevate a playoff team to a Super Bowl, but if you don't have the guys around you, a game changer is kind of useless outside of the jersey sales.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. And it's kind of interesting when you compare Philadelphia and how they're built versus, say, New England with Tom Brady, right? Very similarly built, really good defenses. They have good offensive line play. But then the difference here, in my opinion, is, you know, the quarterback play for New England was like superior. Then they kind of had budget weapons. Then you look at the Eagles. Now, I'm not saying Jalen's a damn good quarterback, but I would say they invest a lot in the weapons and have a quarterback that maybe isn't necessarily Tom Brady. So it's kind of interesting. I think both work. Just really depends on the philosophy. But at the end of the day, I think the similarities there are really the trench play and the defensive play. I think those are kind of non-negotiables. The other stuff you can tweak it, you know, and mess around with a little bit. But I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting conversation that just kind of randomly came up as we were talking about building college football rosters, which is totally a thing now. We got to get out of here and make room for you guys coming up next, which is women, who you just heard from there. Good to meet you, brother. Have a great show. And we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, hope you guys enjoyed it and look forward to see you guys tomorrow.